3, 2, 1.
It's the Jono, Ben and Sharon podcast.
The Edges, quit your day job. Come work with us.
At the end of the year, oh God, I forgot to say hi, hi. Welcome to the show, it's Sharon. I've definitely done this before. At the end of the year, Jono and Ben are leaving me. They're abandoning me so they can go back on the TV. And that means I need to find a new friend. And instead of finding a new friend behind closed doors, I want to find this new friend with you. We want to make a panel of people here at The Edge. And then we also want all you listener pals to tell us who you think should do the afternoon show with me, because you're the one that has to listen to it every day. And so this week, we've been doing live auditions with a whole lot of people that have entered for Quit Your Day Job. And today, I'm very excited. We're going to be having three different people. And kicking it off, 3 to 4 is the incredible, the amazing Taylor.
The Edges, quit your day job.
Being an auditor, everyone hates you before you walk in the room. So I want out, I want to change the scenery.
Taylor, your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
Taylor, it is amazing having you in the studio, and we just, through the ads, bonded over one of my favourite artists, Doja Cat. How are you feeling?
Oh, I am so excited. I thought I'd be more nervous in this, but I'm actually just ready to get going.
I'm excited to see what you can pull off in the next hour, because you are such a great talker. You've got awesome stories, and I feel like we're going to really have some fun this hour, and I'm excited because we're gonna talk to a few people from your family possibly as well.
Oh, I know. It's going to be an absolute stitch up. But before we get into anything, I want to say congratulations on winning an award last night with the Dancing with the Stars family at the New Zealand Television Awards.
Oh, so my...
Clap for you. Well deserved.
Get out of here with your greasing up to me, girl. You're going straight to my thirsty ego. Love it. Thank you very much. Also, shout out to Maddie McLean, who beat me in the other award I was up for.
I didn't mention that one on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Don't mention it. No, we love Maddie. But that is one thing I have learned about you, is that you are extremely prepared. So I am excited about what we're going to do together in the next hour. One thing that we have to do quite regularly is interviews. And so straight out the gates, we are going to throw you into an interview with one of my old co-hosts, and he's going to put you through your paces. So, Guy Williams, can you hear us?
Taylor, I am so sorry that I'm the person you've got to interview.
Look, honestly, if I can interview you, I can interview anyone, is the mantra I'm walking into this interview with.
So we're going to give Taylor 2 minutes to interview you, Guy, and she is going to kick things off. She is in full control, so play nice.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Guy, your current tour is titled Some Places in the Central North Island and Most of the South Island. I just wanted to know why the small rural towns and not so much the big cities. Do you get easier, cheaper laughs down there?
Do you want a fake answer or a real answer?
I'll go with the real one. We're all about being real here.
Okay, well, the real answer is I just enjoy driving around small town New Zealand and looking at, like, giant carrots and stuff like that.
And don't forget the giant statue in the best little small town, Tikawiri. Big sheep-shearing statue there. But your show is a political show, and unlike the flat earthers on New Zealand Today who gave themselves a Bachelor of Google Search, you've actually got a bachelor's degree in political science. But how do you make politics funny? How do you make people laugh?
Man, that is good. That is good research. Hey, I'm genuinely very impressed.
You should be, because he never researched for one interview we did in 3 years.
That's not true. Oh, I researched for what we need. Sharon came. I looked at his Twitter account beforehand.
That was literally the only one. But yes, answer the question.
I find politics to be full of, like, contradictions and bullcrap. So I think it's a pretty easy thing to make fun of most of the time. You know, you just have to look at, like, the crap going on with Winston Peters right now. The marijuana debate is always funny. I mean, the other day Paula Bennett said, we don't want a marijuana industry in New Zealand. And I was just thinking, bad news, Paula. We've already got a marijuana industry in New Zealand.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of comedy out there, I reckon.
100%. Now, one thing I wanted to do is I love when celebrities read out mean tweets. So I wanted to find a mean review and get your reaction to it. But I kid you not, I couldn't find one bad review about this show, which just goes to show how good it is. But I did find this review, which I thought was quite funny. So it's from Tom from Rotorua. He said, random crazy night, had a great time and hung around to meet Guy afterwards. Awesome dude, good to his fans. I even threw a shoe at him. He took it well. Why are people throwing shoes at you?
Man, that is impressive research. I I had a guy in the audience giving me stick about my shoes. I thought they were sick. They're pink and purple Reebok. And I said, "What shoes are you wearing, mate? Are they DCs?" And then he threw a shoe at me. And they were DCs.
Wow, that was great. You know what? I let her have a little extra time to get that answer, thinking you were going to give something real classic, and that's what you went with.
Well, I hope you get lots of shoes thrown at you tonight in Dunedin.
What are you yelling about, mate?
I'm the subject of the interview. I'm not the one getting graded. Cheers.
Hey, Taylor, you did pretty well. You survived an interview with Guy Williams. We even got some compliments in there. So congratulations. You passed this test.
Thank you, Guy, for being such a good sport.
Taylor, you are a very, very good storyteller. Like, you have told, because we have to prepare the show and stuff beforehand, which is beautiful, so we can see if you can do the behind the scenes stuff. You've got so many funny stories. But the one that really stuck out to me was one when you got attacked by an animal.
My gosh. So I'm the biggest animal lover, so it really hurt my feelings when this happened. But when I was younger in primary school, I used to be a 3-time New Zealand BMX champ.
So okay, brag about
humble
it,
humble brag, humble brag. And I always used to be on my bike. As soon as I finished school, I'd be riding around the neighborhood just on my bike. And I came across this duck and her ducklings. And as a kid, I was like, oh my gosh, ducklings, I need to touch them. Like, they're so cute, even though you're not supposed to, but I didn't know that.
Please tell me that you didn't run the ducklings
over.
Okay,
no. So I got closer to the ducklings and I jumped off my bike and I was trying to touch it. And then the mother duckling loses her shit and starts biting me on the legs, like repeatedly, like flapping her wings. I was stressing out. I was crying. I was trying to jump on my bike. I was like, lost all my senses, like, oh my god, what's happening? Sprinted home on my bike, came crying into my mum, was like, "Mum, I got attacked by a duck." And she runs out to the neighborhood. It's like middle of summer, so all these kids are outside playing, and she loses her shit going, "Who the heck's dog just attacked my daughter?" And I was like, so embarrassed. I'd be like, "Mum, it was a duck.
It was a duck.
It was a duck, not a dog."
Thank you for the sound effects, producer Tipsy.
And so I just was crying hysterically, and my mum looked at me. She's like, "Really, Taylor? A duck? You let a duck attack you?"
Because that's the thing. They're such a nonsense. Like, you wouldn't expect a duck. They're so sweet and innocent to like to start attacking you. Because what does it feel like? Because I don't even imagine that. I don't know why, but I always feel like ducks don't even have teeth. So yeah, is it sharp?
I thought that too as well. But no, by the blood on my leg, they were sharp. But I was
just,
I know, it was like repeated, like stabbing me. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know what to do.
Did you get like a tetanus shot or something if you get bitten by a duck?
Oh no, my mum's like, "We're tough. We don't need that."
Yeah, you'll be
grew
fine.
Grew up on a farm. Come on, girl.
Out. Yeah. Get some corrugated iron over here. Then we'll show you some real tetanus. Well, we want to know this afternoon, because Taylor can't be the only person that's been attacked by a bird. 0800 The Edge. Text us to 3343 and let's talk about when birds attack. Fipsy.
Surely there's someone else out there, guys. Don't leave me hanging.
I don't know what's happening. Producer Fipsy, I said to you a bird sound effect and you got a cricket sound effect.
These ones do have birds.
Taylor, I'm really...
The cricket bit almost made it like it wasn't funny.
Yeah, you didn't deserve that. You told a great story and producer Fipsy came...
You did me dirty.
Yeah, what the heck? Okay, 0800 The Edge, text 3343. When were you attacked by a bird? Aaliyah, welcome to the show. Birds attack. What happened?
So I was actually in kindergarten and we went to a, I think a zoo or something. I don't remember exactly where, but there was a bird that got perched on my shoulder and it bit me in the ear.
Oh,
on
my,
the ear.
It's like the Mike Tyson of birds.
Oh my gosh. I mean, some of us do like a cheeky ear bite, but definitely not from a bird. That
not
is not
bird.
Okay. Oh. I mean, I'm not sure what those birds' intentions were, but I'm sure you didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have enjoyed that either. Amanda, birds attack. What happened?
My daughter got attacked by a swan.
What? So how did, what happened? What was your daughter doing to the swan?
Well, you know, she thought, oh, they're cute, I might see if it wants a cuddle, and the next minute it's attacking her face.
Oh my god, was she okay? Did she get any like serious injuries or anything?
No, nothing serious, but she has never touched another one again.
Aww.
Oh, you know what? I feel like Disney's to blame for this, because we see these beautiful swans doing kisses and making love hearts, and your daughter obviously just wanted to give it a hug, and there was no warning sign. She was expecting a lovely swan back, and it just bit her. Not okay.
Not okay. Oh, well, Amanda, I hope that someday you guys get to meet a friendly swan. Good luck, good luck. And Georgie, when birds attacked, what happened?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it was terrifying. Me and my four-year-old son at the time were at the duck pond in Auckland. No, you don't love the duck. Okay, the duck was actually fine. There was nothing wrong with the duck. And we got the bread out to feed the duck. And then all of a sudden, about like 100 pigeons just came and attacked us. I'm not keen on birds. And so I dropped the bread and I left my four-year-old son in the middle of it.
Oh, no! You did it! You left your four-year-old in there to get attacked by the pigeons while you did the bolt.
Yes.
Oh, my Georgie. What happened to your son?
A stranger went and saved him.
Oh my God. I love it.
You're like my mum. I love it. It's almost like Home Alone with the pigeons coming towards you.
Oh, it was absolutely terrifying.
Oh, Georgie, you are gold.
I was gonna let them have him.
I reckon. Well, I mean, if you're scared of birds, I mean, it depends how much you like your son. I actually want to know a little bit more about you, Taylor, because you're very, very nice. You've got lots of good stories, but I reckon there must be a dark side to you as well. And so we've done some digging and we have tracked down somebody from your life. So I'd like to welcome to the show right now, Taylor's sister, Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Be nice to me.
Oh, well, what can I say? Taylor's been a great, you know, younger sister in my life. But, you know, there's a few things about her that I think the world should know.
Yes. Well, this is what I want, Charlotte, because so far I've seen the very nice, organised, well-prepared Taylor. And I want to know what this other side of Taylor is like. And nobody's going to know better than you being her sister.
That's right. Well, I can say that me and my sister have had a bit of dispute about who's dad's favourite. And I can tell you right now, it's definitely me. But I have asked 100%. Dad, and I have said to him, I've said, Dad, who is it? Who is your favourite? And he said, you know what? I actually love all my children the same, but I just love them differently. And he gave me a wink, so take it as you will.
Oh, that's definitely you as the favourite,
honestly,
Charlotte.
She could fart and he'd think it smelled like roses.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like Taylor's got a bit of a petty side, though, you know?
Yes.
I took Dad's side in a little bit of a tiff that Taylor and him were having.
Ooh.
And, you know, I was like, oh, Taylor, you're definitely wrong, you know, and Dad's, you know, like my favourite daughter's backing me up, great. And then I forgot that I'm this poor student that doesn't pay for my own Netflix account. And so I went on the next day to have a little bit of a watch of all my favourite television shows, and it said that the owner of the account has disconnected me and the password has changed. And I can tell you, I've never felt so betrayed by my sister in my life.
Oh, my God!
And I text Dad, and I was like, Dad, can you believe what Taylor's just done? And all he replied to me was, lol.
This is unbelievable. So, Taylor, you were that annoyed with Charlotte that you cut her off from using your Netflix.
Honestly, we're not little kids anymore, so I couldn't just give her a slap and say I didn't do it. So I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to her? So I stormed up to my room. I'm like the holder of the Netflix account, and I was like, delete account, change password.
That is amazing, and such a good way of like getting back at somebody.
Yeah, just getting under her skin. And I knew she would hate it because she's a Netflix junkie, so I was like,
wow,
gone.
That is not true.
Well, did she let you back in, Charlotte, eventually?
You know, no, she hasn't, but it came up with her Disney X account where she added me to it, and I was a bit like, what's going on here? We're having some sisterly bonding time.
Oh, so you've got the Disney Plus but not quite the Netflix yet.
The funny thing is I gave her the Disney Plus username and password, but I forgot it's also the same for Netflix. So I was like, well, damn it.
Well,
she's on both now again. So.
Well, she didn't know that until right now. You literally just told her, Taylor.
Welcome back to the family, Charlotte. Welcome back.
Thank you.
That is amazing. Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for giving us a little insight into the real Taylor. We women appreciate you. How do you think Taylor's going so far?
Yeah, no, she's going really well. I'm so proud of her. You know, I'm her number one supporter, even though she thinks I'm not.
No, I don't.
That is so cute.
Charlotte's a midwife and she says she's going to deliver all my babies in the future, but I think it might be a bit weird. Don't want my sister to see that. I don't know.
That's a great point, actually. I don't know if I would want one of my sisters to be delivering my baby.
Exactly.
Because you'd be like, I feel like if you'd had a fight beforehand, you've just taken her off the Netflix. She isn't giving you that epidural.
Yeah.
All I can say, Taylor, is I'll give you that extra stitch.
Oh, no.
The Edges, quit your day job.
Who do you think you are? Huh? Are you Sharon? Are you John on bed? No? You're the f***ing cleaner.
You're a scrubber. I wish I could just quit my day job.
Sunny.
Your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
At the end of the year, Jono and Ben are leaving me, and that means I've got to find a new co-host. And we've been running Quit Your Day Job, where you can help me find and enter to be my new co-host. And I am so excited about my next guest. He's usually a personal trainer. You may have seen him as Dion on Shortland Street as well. Sunny!
Woo! What up?
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It is so good to have you here. Your video was so funny. Sunny did this really funny video where he was pretending to be a cleaner in his current workplace, and he played about a million different characters. So we're excited to see what you're going to do this hour.
Awesome. Thank you. Excited to be here.
Have you done much radio stuff before?
I've never done radio.
Oh, well, no. You are in for a bloody treat. We can't wait to see you interview Guy Williams later in the hour, because he can be a very awkward person to interview, but I reckon you've got what it takes, Sunny. So good luck.
Awesome.
Sunny, you've been joining me this hour. It's been pretty good. You've been doing a really good job.
Oh, thank you.
You're very nervous.
A little bit, yeah.
And I would be nervous too when I'm about to do this interview, but hopefully he's in a good mood because he was nice to Taylor last hour. But I'm going to give you 2 minutes to interview Guy Williams, who used to be my co-host, and he's also on tour with his comedy show right now. How are you feeling? Nervous?
Yeah, no, I feel pretty calm now. I'm quite ready to just rip into it.
All right, Guy, are you ready?
No, you were mean to me last time, and now I'm in a bad mood, and that's going to hurt Sonny. I'm taking my anger out on him.
Oh, Guy, I was only joking. You know it's all love.
No, I'm ropeable.
Okay, well, here we go, Guy. You're going to start this interview with Sonny in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Guy Williams, how are you, mate?
I'm bloody good, mate. I've just been in Gore. Like, how could I not be good? It's the best place in the world.
Nice, bro. I heard it's a place where they roll their R's in their cars, eh?
Yeah, something like that, man. Yeah. Like that. I saw a giant trout and a statue of a guitar. Like, what a great place.
Oh, nice, bro. Hey, going into your first question, mate, what were your inspirations to wanting to become a comedian?
What sort of start to the interview is going into your first question, mate? was that too mean?
Yes, it was mean. He's never done this before. At least he's prepared for it.
What was the question?
No, move on to the next question, Sonny. Screw that guy.
I don't deserve that question.
No.
All right, Guy, next question. What was it like growing up in Christchurch?
I actually grew up in Nelson.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to mark you too far down for your research, but I was born in Christchurch Women's Hospital. So you're almost there. Shout out to Christchurch Women's Hospital, best place in the world. Shout out to Christchurch. When I was a kid, that was a town that had 5 McDonald's, and every time we went there, we were just blown away by getting you to eat at different McDonald's. So it was an awesome place to visit.
Wow.
I don't think anyone knew that McDonald's was a word either.
It is. That's English. Sharon, you're not part of the industry.
sorry.
So I heard that you interviewed Karen 20 Wax.
The legend of Karen from Stokes Valley. Yeah, she wasn't in Stokes Valley. How crazy is that? She's moved to Christchurch. It took me 5 years to track her down.
Oh, wow.
Probably the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. So back in acting school, I had to do an impersonation exam, and I actually used her $20 video. I would like to do my impersonation for you, mate, and see if it's up to scratch.
Wow, I'm genuinely excited about this.
Awesome.
I'm Karen from the 20 Wax video. I cannot wait.
All right.
Hello, this is Karen. Rachel thinks she can ignore me and hide from me for her lousy $20 she owes me from, like, well over 3 months ago. She won $600 at the pokies at the Stokes Valley Bar, and she said to Jade and Dion, don't tell Karen you've seen me. I owe her $20. Well, I tell you what, I'll get my $20 or she's gonna get 20 Wax.
Oh my
20
God.
F-ing Wax. Not my fault your daughter's a mental crazy lady who ran off with the f-ing lesbian who's now with the man. Not my fault your daughter's all f-ing up, okay? It's not my f-ing fault. I want my f-ing money.
Whoa.
That was amazing.
I'm in a standing ovation in my motel room in Dunedin. That is superb.
Let's just shut this interview down now. That was amazing, Sonny. That was I did have no faith in that impression, and now I've heard it, I am extremely impressed. Guy, what are you giving Sonny's interview?
It's a bit of a mixed bag here. Sunny, can I ask? Can you do impersonations of a lot of voices or just Karen?
I haven't really explored a lot, but it varies kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Because that is real talent, man. Like, honestly, if you could do that for, like, a bunch of famous New Zealanders,
yeah.
Say you could do, like, a Beauden Barrett and a Jacinda Ardern, or, you know, just off,
yeah.
You could go far, eh? That is a real talent. I'm so impressed by that voice. Like, I thought that was Karen almost. That was amazing.
That is some high praise, because it's hard to get a compliment from Guy Williams. So, Guy, thank you so much. Good luck with the rest of your comedy tour. If people want to get tickets, just go to guywilliams.co.nz.
It's sold out, Sharon.
I had absolutely no faith in you, and I just plugged it because I didn't think it would be.
Fine, but I'm going to announce more dates on my social media soon.
Okay, so just follow at Guy Williams Guy. Hell of a follow. All social media platforms. I am looking for a new co-host, and this hour, Sunny is trying out. Sunny, it is so awesome to have you in here, and it was really interesting because I get to go and kind of catch up with all of you before the show and learn about you. And you are amazing. And I really wanted to share your story this afternoon about your weight loss journey, because there's so many, especially like females that listen to our show, that just want to figure out if they want to get healthier and things like that, because it's not always about just losing the weight. But you've had an amazing journey. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So it all started back when I was 19 years old. I was 140 kgs.
Yeah.
And I just had no idea what I wanted to do. That's a lie. I did know what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to New Zealand Drama School and become an actor.
Wow.
But I also knew that I didn't want to be an overweight actor.
Yep.
I wanted to be a fit actor who can kind of go for action roles as well.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I've got to really suss this out. So I started, watching The Biggest Loser.
Oh, the reality TV show? I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Such a good show.
Yeah, and I started following that the whole 12 weeks of that season, and then I just started doing everything they were doing in terms of diet, fitness, and then 10 months later, dropped like 35 kgs.
Wow, that's incredible. That must have been like such an amazing feeling for you as well. Like, was it an easy journey? Like, did you find that it was something that it was just about the eating? Was it about just the exercise? Like, what was the key to it, do you think?
I think the key to it was thought patterns.
Right.
Because your mind affects how you behave on the outside. So if I can clean that up, then I can start to teach myself, but not only teach myself, but teach other people how to lose weight.
Oh, wow.
Which is currently with Les Mills.
Yeah, so because you're a personal trainer now at Les Mills, and so it must be quite cool, because I always think that when you go to the gym and you're like, oh, look at this like ripped-ass person telling me how many sit-ups to do, and they're like, come on, Sharon, you can hold a plank for longer than 20 seconds. But then I just like, look at them and go, yeah, well, you can say that with your 8 million abs. Shut up. I've got a mum tum. But it is actually quite cool for you, because you've gone and done this amazing journey already, so you can kind of relate to the people that you're training. And so it actually worked for you, because you got the acting job in the end, right?
Yeah, I got my first gig on Shorties.
That one must have been bizarre, like quite an amazing moment as well for you to go from, because you played like a league player on Shortland Street.
Yeah.
So you've gone to like the top shelf of what you could have gone to with your goal of being an actor. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's amazing. If you can give one tip to listener pals right now that want to get healthier for their lifestyle and stuff like that, what would your tip be?
I would say, if you wanted to improve, definitely mindset. If you can start to engage with your thought patterns, how they work, and then you start to marry that with fitness and nutrition, man, you'll be on fire.
It's just a lifestyle change. I got a question. It's a serious question. You've made this lifestyle change.
Yes.
Are you still having ice cream? Because I've got to have my daily ice cream.
Yeah, I have this low-cal ice cream. It's by Red Ribbon, Blue Ribbon.
Okay.
It's called low-cal. You can get different flavors. It's only like 380 cal.
So is it nice?
It's not as nice as, you know.
Normal ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take it. Because that's my thing. It's like, you can all do any healthy lifestyle thing, but don't you tell me to give up my ice cream, Sunny, or we're going to have a problem. From Monday morning, 7 a.m., Dom, Megan, Randall will be announcing our first finalists. We'll have 5 finalists next week, who will then, one of them, will become my co-host. Now, Sunny, you want to be one of those 5 people.
Absolutely.
And you have one heck of a story you need to set straight here, pal, because you played Dion on Shorten Street, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And to refresh people's memory, what was your character?
So he was a league player who came onto the street and fell in love with Jack.
Yes, Jack Hanna, I love him. Yep.
And he was coming to terms with his sexuality. He didn't know sort of what was happening with him, with himself. And then he came out at a charity campaign and started living life publicly with Jack.
And then in the end, you blimmin' died.
I died, mate. I bloody died. Thanks for that, Maxine.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
See, that's the thing. So Maxine is your producer. Yeah, Myla, I've always lovely. Wanted to meet her.
Oh, she's awesome.
Because I'm like a huge Shorten Street fan. And I was on Shorten Street once. I had 15 lines, but it was just my voice. Yo. Just my voice as a radio announcer. It was the biggest day of my life. And I've got a letter from Maxine, who's a producer of Shorten Street, framed in my house. It was like, thank you. It's some generic letter being like, thank you for being part of the show and episode blah, blah. It's like one of my greatest life achievements. But you actually got to be on Shorten Street and then you got to die on Shorten Street. But the way you died ended up getting you a bit of flack because somebody made you go viral. What happened?
So basically what happened was on my final scene, so I had died and Ruben, my co-actor who plays Jack, he had a monologue and it was to my dead body. and it was very hot in the room. So the director said, we'll split. Shoot the scene. And so I had trouble breathing because it was so hot. It was in January shooting. And
anyway, so you were like lying there pretending to be dead.
Yeah, so I was lying there and I couldn't help, like I just couldn't help, but I had to breathe. Like it was so hard. So I know the camera was on me, so I felt my stomach going up and down breathing. And I spoke, I can't remember who I spoke to, but they said, oh no, they'll zoom in on it, so they'll just
see. So they wouldn't see your diaphragm going up
totally.
And down.
Yeah, they'll just see me and Ruben acting, and I was like, "Oh, cool, awesome."
So then you start breathing frantically.
Oh, I still tried to be professional.
Yeah,
still
trying to hold my breath.
Yeah.
How long do actors have to hold their breath for when they're playing dead? Like, is there? Do you know when they cut away so you can quickly go?
Yeah. I think it's situational, eh?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you're being told they're going to crop out your breathing. But then what happened?
And then on the night of the scene, I watched it and then I was like, oh my God, I'm breathing.
So they didn't crop you. You could see it.
It was all there.
Oh,
I was like, no.
That's my worst nightmare if I was an actor. So you're breathing and then somebody stitches you up online.
Yeah, and this chick, she was like, guys, look at this. Look, he's breathing. And I'm like, oh my God. And her video got like 10,000 hits. I was like,
oh my God.
No. And then it just had so much feedback about, bro, he's a rubbish actor, bro.
Oh,
no.
So then when you're going to auditions and stuff, people are like, hey, mate, are you the breathing dead guy on Shorten Street?
I did actually get a few messages, but a lot of people, like, they DM you and they're like, wow, I kind of saw your stomach going up and down during that scene.
Dang, that is such a stitch up. But hey, we've set the record straight now. People know that Sonny is a good actor and he was stitched up. And that is what happened on Shorten Street, ladies and gentlemen. I am so glad that we set that straight for you because I don't want your name out there as a rubbish actor, Sonny. You deserve better than that.
Edges, quit your day job.
Try being like me. When I get to town, I gotta make sure I'm not standing so close to a doorway. Otherwise, people start queuing up in front of me and handing me their IDs.
Keegan Govind.
Your live audition starts in 3, 2, 1.
That's right. I am looking for a new co-host because John and Ben are leaving me at the end of the year and Keegan is joining me until 6 o'clock. Now, Keegan, you're normally a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling about...
Hold on, this is the first time you haven't been upset about John and Ben leaving, let's be honest.
Oh, what?
Every other time you've put on arms, sad they're leaving. This is the first time you're excited. It's a good start.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe that's promising for us, Keegan. Now, Keegan, you are a comedian.
Yes.
And so you're going to... I think this may work in your favour this time because you're about to do your very first interview.
Ooh.
And you're going to do an interview for 2 minutes with Guy Williams.
Who's that?
He's, shady.
Oh, I'm kidding,
I love
I'm
it.
Kidding,
I love
I'm
it.
Kidding.
He is going to hate that. He thinks that he's the most famous person in the world.
He's going to switch.
No, I do not.
Keegan, are you ready to interview Guy Williams?
Ready to go. Guy, are you ready?
No, I'm not, to be honest.
Oh, all right, that's fine. We'll go
from
there.
How are we going to do this, mate? I've got to do 2 minutes.
It's 2 minutes, Guy.
when I worked in radio, comedians are the worst people to interview, right? Because they're never very funny and they're always just like pissed off.
You see what he's doing there? He's lowering the bar.
He is.
For himself.
Keegan interviewing Guy Williams in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Guy? You got a lot of fans out in New Zealand who have seen you before. What can they expect that's going to be new this time around with your show?
I don't know how to do new stuff. Getting a unicycle? I'm not sure. I'm just going to do the old stuff and try and be funny.
You're going to try and be funny, so you're not sure if you can guarantee that just yet.
No guarantees.
All right, he was telling the truth inside. He's not a comedian.
My show, they're not getting them. I will fight you. No guarantees. There's no guarantees they'll be funny, and you definitely are not getting your money back. That's a guarantee.
All right, we weren't going to give you our money in the first place. What can we expect you to talk about?
I'm doing quite a political show, so just ranting about all the bullcrap that's going on right now. I don't know if you've looked outside, but the world's crazy, man. The world's gone crazy, and I think it's quite funny to joke about that.
All right, that's all the time we got.
I'm just saying, like, Keegan, you've still got more time to go. You've got more time to go on this interview.
No, I'm good. So imagine you've got to draw an arrow, and that show that is your arrow. You have a target there. What does that target look like? What are you aiming to hit with this show?
Okay, I have no idea what that question was. Can this guy fail the competition? This is ridiculous.
That's the spirit.
Guy.
What are you aiming to achieve with the show, Guy? Or are you just going out there with no why?
Well, I hope to achieve making the audience laugh for 1 hour and a little bit, and then meeting some fans after the show. That's what I hope to achieve. Pretty straightforward, right?
Oh, there we go. Well, a man with a why can bear any how. Everyone, get out to see his show. You guys can help him out with the how. Let's go. Do you want to plug your dates? Oh, sorry, that's all the time we have.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Let's go, Guy. Give us your dates.
It's about, all the shows are sold out at the moment, but I'll be announcing more shows soon.
On his social meds, at Guy Williams Guy. Hell of a follow.
Sweet. You're full of crap, Sharon. You're full of crap.
Well, thank you so much this afternoon for letting our Quit Your Day Job contestants have a go at interviewing you. Keegan's got one last thing he wants to ask you, Guy.
All right, Guy. Guy to Guy. If, say, I do somehow, by some miracle, get this job, you've worked with Sharon a lot. What's something I need to maybe look out for with Sharon?
I would say with Sharon, you've got to look out for her passion for burgers. For sabotaging your good times.
What do you mean sabotaging your good times?
I will never forget when
I interrupted one lovemaking thing for you one time. Okay?
Okay. One time Chang Hung went to a rival radio station to get some pizza, and when he came back, Sharon saw him in the window and said, "Watch this," and then ran outside and slapped the pizza out of his hand. And he was so sad, and I've never laughed so hard in my life. It was the best day.
No, but in my defense.
You don't need to defend yourself. Not that bad.
I knew that there was more pizza, so I went and got him another piece, but it was one hell of a gag at the time.
Yeah, it was a hell of a gag.
Hell of a gag. Hey, Guy, thank you so much for helping us out this afternoon. You are awesome, and I do truly love you, so thank you so much for joining us.
Love you too, Sharon. Good evening, Guy. Keegan. Good luck for the competition.
Thank you, sir. Big fan.
And joining me until 6 o'clock is Keegan, who wants to be my new friend.
Yes. So far, it's been fun. I'm excited for it.
Excuse me. Why did you just hesitate when I said that you wanted to be my new friend?
Too many positive emotions at once.
Oh, you are such a liar. What do you do to be a good friend?
I'm a good listener.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, great, because I've got so many problems. Yeah. I love talking about my problems.
All right, let's go. Give us your biggest problem.
Oh, I can't talk about them on air, Keegan.
Come on, you've got to be vulnerable or authentic.
Okay, well, I didn't have a problem prepared. I just remember talking to... Excuse me, Producer Fipsy. Producer Fipsy's new thing. So Producer Fipsy's been in radio now for a couple of years, and he's just discovered sound effects. And so he's filling in for Producer Dan today, and he is just sound effecting it up nonstop. Fipsy, rein it in, mate.
Cometh the hour, cometh the man's button.
Now, Keegan, you have, everyone's been told to bring a pretty good story, but it sounds like you get yourself into a bit of trouble when you go to parties.
It's embarrassing in general, like living up this whole brown dude thing.
Yeah.
Before, this chick came up to me and she's like, I just wanted to stop you and be like, and tell you look like Jason. And I was like, no, let me stop you. You know what she's going to say? Jason Momoa? She's like, no, Jason Farfway from what now?
Except you don't have the glasses that Jason has.
I could pull them off.
Maybe that could be your thing.
Yeah, but also, who even remembers Jason Farfoy?
The Blasphemy. Jason Farfoy is one of the greatest what now presenters of all time, Keegan.
If you don't know him, he's basically the Denzel Washington of TV what now.
Wow, what a guy.
No, but like, I don't know, growing up, like, as a brown dude, and if you didn't know I'm brown, don't worry, there's just a birthmark. No, like, I used to have to go to white people parties. Like, they're always the best. Like, you never have to take your shoes off at the door. The parents are drinking with you, handing out shots. The mum would get drunk and they'd come over and say something creepy to me, like, I dated a Polynesian once.
Oh, my God. Please tell me that people don't do that.
No, yeah, that
they
happened.
Do. Oh, my God.
Two
wow.
or three times. But, like, not in a weird way. I think they're just like, you know, we got a moment here.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Keen, yeah. Oh,
but, you know, the shit thing, though, was, like, waking up the next day after going to, like, a white person party and having a text from a random number that would say something like, hey, Connor lost his wallet last night. Someone...
No, shut up.
May have accidentally taken it. If you could return it, there'll be no questions asked.
So this was like a group text that went out to everybody in the party?
Well, that was the thing. I thought it was at first, so you're like, all right, I get it. Someone just needs to find their wallet. I checked with all my mates. I was the only person who ever got the text.
No, that is awful. That is so rude. I can't believe that someone would do that.
Well, like, because it happened a few times. Like, it would get weird. Like, because, I think because, like, you look like this, you kind of learn you got to put in like a little bit of extra effort just to come off like a good person and sort of fit in. So like I think it'd be confusing because like I think because like you feel like a victim but you're being, you know, treated like a suspect.
Yeah, totally. That's really unfair. Like it just sucks to me that like people, like it sucks that someone would just text you that and not text everybody else. Like it actually makes me quite angry.
Well, I returned the wallet after that.
Shut up! Keegan! I was feeling sorry for you. I thought you were getting upset. I was looking at producer Fipsy. I was like, if he starts crying, this is going to be so awkward. We've still got half an hour to go.
Don't worry, I kept the $20 finder's fee.
Keegan! Oh my God. Keegan is filling in today. He is trying to steal Jono and Ben's jobs. And
no, I'm not.
I am going to be so gullible if I end up working with you. I'm going to believe everything that you say. You are a stand-up comedian by trade?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you have a day job as well, or is that just your day job?
I work for an engineering company that my dad owns. Don't tell him I'm here.
Oh, God. Well, at least he can't fire you because then it will cause like a family thing.
Well, you guys get some free content if I get this job.
So
kill two birds with one stone. And he killed me with a stone.
Oh, God. I hope he doesn't do that. You know, what if we do
pick
you?
Not the face. Not the face.
But we had to... I was like, always think about with comedians, like when you bomb out on stage. And I was listening to this podcast recently where Ray Romano, of all people, don't ask me why I was listening to anything Ray Romano, but he was saying that he misses bombing on stage. But now he's a famous comedian. He never bombs because people sympathy laugh. But... are you at that stage yet where you get the sympathy laughs, or are people still quite mean to comedians?
They're quite mean. I think I'm just coming out of that. Like this year, I think that was a big thing. Like I can kind of just shuck and jive and be myself.
Yeah.
But starting out, there are some bad bombs, especially when you get pushed into these. I had one of the worst ones because I did the Raw Quest final at Q Theatre, like just an amazing experience in front of a huge audience, and I murdered. I was like, this is great. And then all my family came, and then 2 days after, I had to do a fundraiser, and I'm like, I'm the man, like one of the best comedians in the country.
Yeah.
Up and coming.
You got me.
Then I go up to a Fiji Heart Foundation fundraiser.
Yes.
Right during dinner.
No.
Everyone's up grabbing drinks during dinner. So imagine you're up, you're having dinner, you're serving up your food, you're getting drinks, and then some guy on stage walks up and goes, all right, and now, no credits, by the way, and my mate had gone on early and just killed, and he got his whole credits read out. This guy goes up while everyone's eating, and no credits, all just goes, and
what's,
now
what
we
do you
have,
mean by no credits? Like, they
sort of
say
introduction.
Where you're
from. Yeah, oh. Like, oh, now we have a comedian. This guy walks up and just goes, and now, Keegan.
Oh, no.
And I'm like...
oh, no.
I was like, I'm going to write it out. I just killed on Thursday. It's going to be awesome. I'm walking up instantly. No one's looking at me. And I just start trying to crowd work like, hey, how's it? You good? Yeah.
How's that steak?
Yeah.
You and like then, chicken? Thank
no,
you
that would have been a pause. I would have thought that was a pause if you had heard an actual sound. And then the worst thing, people are not even looking. You, so you're trying to, and you don't have the skills now. You're quite new. You're trying to, and then you have this thing when you bomb. I guess gamers will get it. It's like flop sweat. It's like you sweat from places you've never, and
yes.
It's the whole.
It's the worst. It's the worst feeling.
And you're just up, and then because you're new, you're just like stick to the material, stick to. And you're trying to push through, and you're like, huh. it's great to be here. Yeah. It's good. I hear my parents and my uncles, they're the cool guys at the back, you know, they're drinking, they're not eating. They're at the back and I hear him in a huge, like a massive hall. I hear my mum and my aunties at the back telling my uncles to shut up. He's on stage.
Oh, that is the worst. So does your family not even get the sympathy laugh on?
No, my mum and my aunties, I could hear them like telling everyone to shut up. I look back, they're telling my uncles and stuff to shut up.
Oh,
and then
no.
They're like, I can see them be like, I don't know.
We've heard his jokes before. He's been practicing on us for years.
Yeah.
Well, God, I couldn't do that. Do you know my worst bomb was in Christchurch. Do you remember the guy Bass Hunter?
Yes.
He was terrible. And he had this song.
All I ever
that was,
wanted.
Yes. And then, now you're gone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So he did this set, and I'm not even playing with you. He played Now You're Gone 3 times because it was that big of a song. And the set was probably only like, don't the song haunts me forever. So I go out to introduce Bass Hunter in Christchurch. And I'm like, let's do a Mexican wave. And I start getting that going. Or just a wave. Sorry, not allowed to call it that anymore.
Why did you choose it?
Well, I just thought it was a great crowd participation. And then there's these group guys.
What, for an Auckland Blues game?
Shut up. And then these, like, these guys in the front just start going, tits out for the boys, tits out for the boys. And I'm like, that's not going to catch on.
What year was this?
This was like 2006.
Oh, that was the only song that was bigger than Bass Hunter.
And then I'm like, this isn't going to catch on. This is not going to catch on. And then, honestly, most of the stadium, which was about 6,000 people, were going, tits out for the boys, tits out. Like, little kids, like, don't realise what they're saying. And I just cry and I was like, screw you guys, Bass Hunter's coming up. And I ran off stage and cried. It was so embarrassing. So, I mean, let's just rest that chant.
What did you learn? You always, you know, from a good bomb or something, like a family.
If I wanted the
learn.
Chant to stop, I should have just flashed them.
There we go. There we go. That's the end of my, I guess I'm not working here.
Yeah, well. Don't forget Sharon. The Edge.